Blind Nil Audio.
I'm Alex L.
I'm Libby Delena. Welcome
to This Morning Walk Podcast.
Hi, Alex.
Hey.
Look at you with your big water.
Yeah, I'm trying
to
drink
more. You in a hydration zone?
Yeah. I try to drink like three of them a day.
Oh my gosh. That's very inspirational. I'm terrible about that. I don't know why I haven't figured that out, but I haven't.
How have you been?
I've been just fine. I've been in New York for the last 10 days, and that's always inspiring and exciting and interesting. And, you know, how about you? What's going on with you? You've got a lot going on.
Yeah,
a lot going on.
Yep.
Tell us about it.
Yeah, what is going on? So the biggest thing is my new book was sold to a new publishing house. So I'm switching things over to a different house, and it was a very exciting process. And so got to start writing a book that should be out in 2026 or so. So yeah, that's the biggest thing.
My gosh, 2026. So when's your, when, like, when does a manuscript drew to have a book come out in 2026?
Probably next summer. Probably next summer. Yeah. About a year. Yeah. So got to get to it.
My goodness. Well, as a result, that means that you and I on the podcast, is it's going to look a little different.
Yeah, it's going to look different. So I'll be a guest host once a month, and you'll be taking the reins with everything else.
I know, but I am. I want to tell everybody that we still stay connected and are going to be talking once a month. So there's a little bit of a structural change, but an intentional change. So. Yeah. So the podcast will look a little different. We'll have Alex wonderfully once a month, and I'll do my best in other conversations talking about walking. But Alex deserves a much needed space to write this beautiful book, which I know the world needs. The world needs this book.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. And of course, you know, we'll be doing our tap-ins once a month. You'll do great with the guests. It'll be perfectly fine and awesome. And yeah, so you guys will be hearing less of me and more of Libby and guests, which I think is going to be a really fun transition just to like spice it up a little bit.
Well, and I'm likely going to be texting you every morning. So what's a great question to ask? You're so naturally good at it. You are like my podcast mentor. So yeah, after our walks, I'm going to be texting you. Okay, so help me out here.
Ask me all the things.
So will you tell me what your writing process looks like? Honestly, as someone who is amazed that books ever get put together, because it seems like a process to me that is so intimate. So, it's a big process. How do you structure that? And how does walking factor into it? Does walking factor into it?
So how do you structure it? I mean, for me, it's all about the outlining work that I normally do with Ryan. He really helps me with that because he's really, really good at it. And so this will be book six for me. And what I feel excited about is, you know, now since we're not in COVID lockdown and things like that, I can really travel, and I'm going to be going to really beautiful places and writing and just being head down, like not doing anything much else. And that didn't happen with my last two books. It happened a little bit with After the Rain. I was able to go a couple places and write, which was fine. With How We Heal, I was going to a lot of different Starbucks in the area by myself. I was going to some hotels by myself. But this year, I'm really going to focus on traveling to beautiful places and writing this book. And so that's really what it's going to look like. Lots of flights after the outline is done, and just trying to get it done and get inspired. So we'll see what happens.
Now, it's interesting because going to a new place is inspiring for you. I mean, that obviously that's why you're
doing
that.
I can't write at home. It's really hard to write books at home. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you've got your family there too. So that's, I mean, I can imagine. Yeah. So, I just try and imagine how you create a rhythm, a space. For me, it would create, I would need a sort of a commitment, not unlike my commitment to walking. I would need to say to myself, okay, this is how much time I'm going to spend writing each day, because it's not an instinct for me. You are a natural writer. After six books, you certainly have a lot of experience in it. And for me, it would take clearing the deck. You could just sort of experiment and play.
And I think that's why going away for extended periods of time, like a week at a time, would be helpful, because I know during that week, that's writing week for me. I don't sit down and write every day. When I'm writing books, there is a cadence and a schedule because I have deadlines, but I'm trying something a little bit different because I don't want to just be in immersed in writing the entire year that I have to do this. I want to make sure I have space to think, live, be with my family, and be able to go away to work for a week. And so that's the plan in my head. We'll see how that goes.
Well, so when you do an outline, do you actually frame out each chapter?
Yeah.
And what each, so, oh, that's interesting. And then you go, after you've done the sort of outline, then you go back and write each chapter in depth.
Yep.
Wow. And so how long would you give yourself to put together the outline? Is that a long process? I imagine that's where the idea comes together, or the focal point.
The book is already pretty much outlined because I had a proposal that I was shopping around. And so the proposal is like the raw outline for me. And then I'll go in and bulk up the proposal, and turn it into the outline for the book. Does that make sense?
It sure does, yeah.
Yep, because there's already, the bones are already there in the proposal.
Right.
That's how I do it.
In our last conversation, you shared a little bit about and obviously you're still writing it, so it's coming together, but do you want to share what it's sort of about, or what the frame of it is about?
I can share loosely what it's about. I'm not going to share the title or anything in depth, but it's about friendships. That's what it's about.
And that's exactly why I said the world needs this book, because I feel like, you and I've had this conversation. I feel like friendships are one of life's pure joys. And they are also complex and complicated. They are relationships that are so intimate, and not maybe even not that much different from a primary partnered relationship. Mm-hmm. They are essential and supported and complex and loving and treacherous at the same time.
And this book is going to tap in to all of those things. And I'm going to be sharing some personal stories about what I've learned in these, years of creating my circle of friends and losing people along the way, and also also having to adjust how I move within relationships. And so it's going to be really good. I'm excited about it.
Well, it's interesting. I was talking to someone the other day, and we were talking about this sort of concept. It's called Swedish death cleaning, which sounds like a horrible name, but it's the idea that we clean our house. This is the Swedish concept, which is we clean our house and declutter and make sure that our house is the objects in them are very intentionally chosen to support us, to give us joy, to nourish us.
Yeah.
And this friend of mine said, I'm doing the same thing with my friends right now, because I am moving into a new space where I need a different kind of support network. I need different kinds of my connection. Who I surround myself will determine in many ways whether I'm I get to this next phase in my life, I'll say successfully. I don't know that I have the right words there, but it's sort of this concept that you may be surrounded by people who you love and you care for, but maybe you're in a phase where you can't keep them close because they are not going to be able to help you get to that next place and that next phase, which is, I think it's just this conscious understanding that I mean, it sounds sort of harsh. I probably described that poorly, but the idea that we are intentional about who we keep close is, I don't know, it's just a fascinating concept I don't think our culture talks about.
And something I'll be touching on in the book is not just like, how is that person, you know, how people say, how are they serving me, or that's not serving me. I don't like using that term anymore. I use, how are we in alignment together? Because yes. What I heard you saying was, your friend is essentially taking inventory of what is in alignment with her life and her journey and what is not. And I think that the biggest thing for honest, intentional, reciprocal relationships is clarity. And a lot of us don't have clarity about what we want or need. And so this book is going to be a guide to clarity around what we want and need as far as our alignment goes in our relationships. What are we doing that isn't supportive to the relationship? Perhaps it's staying longer than we should. Perhaps it's, you know, not knowing how to communicate your wants and needs, and you think people are supposed to read your mind. Like, all these different things are so human, but we're not talking about it in that way. We're talking, it's very kind of like we're tiptoeing around what we want and need. We get angry and resentful because that person isn't able to read our mind, even though they've known us for 20 years. But that's not how humaning works. And that's not how friendships work. And so I'm really excited to get into the nitty-gritty of this book, not from an expert point of view, but from a human point of view, who's been in a lot of friendships, who's had a lot of relationships transition that were no longer in alignment, and who has very few relationships that are so good and reciprocal and nurturing, but it took years to find my people. And for me to be open to allowing my people to find me. And I think that this is something that a lot of us need and want. And I'm gonna do my best to execute.
Well, even just the way you articulated it, I took that messy idea and you just articulated it in such a beautiful way. But I do think, you know, we've touched on this, but the notion of friendships as being a really powerful, intimate, essential element in our humaning, in our community. And I don't think we've spent a lot of time talking about it. I certainly wasn't raised in a way that understood that that intimate relationship was as important as just about anything else. And
my friendships, sometimes this is going to sound so crazy. And then I want to hear what you have going on. Enough about me. My friendships sometimes feel more important. Guys, don't judge me. Okay. But my friendships sometimes feel more important than my marriage. But here's the thing. My husband is my best friend. So our friendship is what supports us being able to be married, right? My friendships with my girls helps me be a better wife. It helps me be a better space holder for other people in motherhood. Like, it is, they are so deeply important to me. Friendship is the root of all of my relationships.
All relationships.
And the ones that weren't rooted, it's clear because they're no longer, you know, maybe they were just seasonal, right? But the roots of relationships, I tell Charlie this all the time, my oldest. You want to be with someone who you are friends with. Like, and me and Ryan talk about this a lot. I'm like, if we didn't like each other, if we weren't friends, there would be no way we would be married. Like, so that's when I say my friendships are more important, feel more important than my marriage, because the marriage wouldn't be what it is without me and Ryan's deep friendship. Like, he is my friend. And that just means so much to me. And my sisterhood friendships as an only child, it just, oh my gosh, like my friends, my sisters, like they are my people through and through. And it's so sacred. It keeps me so grounded. I can, if me and Ryan have a issue at home, I know that I can go to my friends and they won't judge me. They won't judge him. they will greet us both with love and they will say, hey, Alex, have you looked at it from his point of view? Like it is just, there's just so important to have good friends. It's so important to have good friends, like rooted friendships. And that just is really, 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 really special to me.
Well, and I think the way you talk about, you know, being able to communicate your desires and needs in those intimate, sacred relationships, I don't think any of us have really learned how to do. I mean, we haven't. And I agree. I mean, I look at some of my friendships and I think, you know, I've had a little bit of a turbulent last, let's call it half a dozen years in my life. And I think, how would I have possibly navigated that without their care, their attention, their affection, their integrity and honesty and feedback? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's so powerful. One example was, and you know the story, but I've been struggling with some headaches. I can't seem to shake these headaches. And I had two dear friends who basically got to a place where they said to me, enough's enough. Why aren't you going to a doctor? Why aren't we sort of following up on this? I don't understand what it is that is preventing you from taking sort of what feels like a reasonable next step. And I actually was able to identify what it was. And there was a little bit of fear. I've spent a lot of time in hospitals with family members, and hospitals are a place I'm unfortunately very familiar with. I was sort of like, woo, touching back into that ecosystem is kind of not a place I want to go. And so I said that, I finally was able to say that out loud to both of them. Mm-hmm. And they basically said, you tell us when you want to go and we will come pick you up and we will be with you every step of the way. We will hold your hand, we'll bring the tea. Or what you can do is decide you'd like to go by yourself and give us a call and give us updates. Mm. But I will say from where I sat, it felt like such a loving, we're right here. You are not alone in this. And it actually at that moment gave me sort of a little bit of sense of somebody's got their arms around me. And I went by myself and it was just fine, of course. I'd built up this narrative in my head, but it was them saying, we're right here. And it's a powerful asset to have your dear, dear friends in your life. It's like creating this really powerful, nurturing ecosystem. Mm-hmm. And inspiring. So mm-hmm. inspiring. So yeah. Thank you for writing this book.
I'll keep you posted.
Okay.
What's going on with you? Why have you been in New York for 10 days?
Oh, well, I've been in New York. I'm a couple of things, checking with some friends, but also I'm dabbling in this world of work in front of the camera. And I decided to come down and try it out and do some tests and this is and that. So it's been really interesting. I'm learning a lot about myself, but
say more about that.
Oh my gosh. Well, you know my discomfort with talking about it. I don't know. And I don't know why that is, but.
About being a model?
Yes.
Why is that uncomfortable?
I don't know. I don't know why. I'm not sure why yet. I have to figure that out. But part of the reason I enjoy doing this work is I would like there to be representation of us 60-year-olds with our wrinkles and our gray hair out in the world. Mm. And so I'm afforded that opportunity. So I've been down here sort of leaning in and focusing on that, which has been, it's been a lot of fun. That's but
what's been your most exciting experience over the past 10 days?
Oh my gosh. Most exciting experience is working with a photographer I've always loved. So my career was in art direction and there are photographers out there whose work I truly admire. The ability to build a photograph a true skill. And so I was able to work with the photographer, Jesse Dittmar, who I've always admired. And, it's fun. It's fun. For me, it's really fun to get on set and build something. I suppose if I were more comfortable with words and writing, it would be equally as fun. But for me, the visual is super fun. So that's what I've been up to. And now I fly off to San Francisco. So I've kind of been on the road for a month. Haven't been home in a while, which nice. Is fine.
Nice. Yeah. Awesome. What's in San Francisco?
My dear friend, Marta is retiring from 30 plus years at work. And so nice. We're going to celebrate and to climb mountains and to toast and celebrate. So that'll be super fun.
Oh yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. That sounds great.
I know. So when are you going to book your trip up to see me to do your writing? We can write together.
Whenever you're back home, I'm around.
Okay. Yeah. You have your room.
I do.
So we'll both sit down in the morning and start writing.
Get it together.
Woo. Get it together, everybody. Yes. Well, thank you for continuing to come on this podcast with me for, once a month. I just love our conversations. It's talk about friendships. It's really meaningful to me. I adore you.
Thank you for having me always. And I'll talk to you next month.
You sure will. I love you.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.
This Morning Walk is a production of Blind Nil Audio,
produced and edited by Chris Jacobs.
If you find value and meaning in the conversations that Libby and I have, please share the show with a friend. And consider leaving a 5-star review. Comments on Apple Podcasts really help us out. When you do that, it introduces this show to a bigger audience. Thank you so much for listening.
You are wonderful. Have a great walk.
The views, information, or opinions expressed in the series are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of Chip and Joanna Gaines, Blind Nil Audio, nor Magnolia.